Been a lovely morning this morning. I'm not preaching anything new. It's what I was meant to preach last Sunday, but then the Lord took over the service, didn't he? The Lord took over the service and we couldn't get to preaching the word because God was speaking to us clearly on what he wants us to know. Can I quickly ask that we turn to Revelation chapter 1 verse 8? Revelation 1 verse 8, that's a text of the message. And the message is God Almighty. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, this is what it says. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I remember we read Genesis chapter 17 from verse 1 to 22 last week. And interestingly, Martin, Gordon's son, was asking me, I hope we're going to have a class on circumcision. But he's not, because it's not about circumcision. It's about circumcision of the heart this morning. It's about our hearts to God this morning. And it's so interesting. But we're talking about God Almighty this morning. And that is what our motto for this first 3 months is going to be as we share the word of God. As we know that every year we encourage ourselves in a word of God. And last year we talked about God's plan and living in God's plan. And as a fellowship, like I said last week, we enjoyed that presence of God. But I want us to look at God Almighty this morning. And what it means. When God met Abraham, he called him out. He called Abraham out and said, Abraham, I've called you into a new life. Walk with me and be perfect and be blameless. Some Bible scripture says, be perfect. Abraham was called out. And if you go back to the scripture, the first time Abraham had an encounter with God was in Genesis chapter 12. And God has called Abraham out. Then he was Abraham. He called him out and told him he was taking him to a land that he has already earmarked for him. And the book of Hebrews made us understand that Abraham was looking for a land whose founder and builder was God. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? It doesn't, does it? It does. Because God himself, when he wanted to create the world, had nothing. He only had an empty space. He created the world out of nothing. So Abraham was called by God to go into a land. And Abraham himself believed God. He was looking for a land whose founder and builder was God. In this present world, we'll say that is madness. There's no land that is built by God. You have to buy your land and build your land and build your house and everything. But that's not what Abraham was looking for. Abraham was looking for the work that God has told him to go and look for. God called him out and said, I'll give you a land. And throughout from Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 17, God kept promising Abraham a lot of things. God even told him that you will be your father of many nations. Your children will be like the sand of the sea. And this is a man that is going to 99 years old. He called him when he was 75. And for this long period, God was telling him, don't worry, calm down. I've called you. I've already called you and I have a purpose for you and everything. And Abraham continued. But at that time, all through those periods, until he got to chapter 17, Abraham was an assumed father. Then God called him in chapter 17. The first thing God said to him, which is interesting, which makes a difference in everything that God has been saying to him, was that God said unto him, I am, chapter 17, verse 1. He said, and when Abraham was 90 years old, 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Whoa. What was he before then? Exactly. He has always been the Almighty God. So why tell Abraham now that I am the Almighty God? You see the reason why he told Abraham, I am the Almighty God here. He told him, I am the Almighty God. He said, walk before me and be perfect. He walked before me and be perfect. So God started a trading with Abraham. He said, now it's time now for me to show you my almighty nature. But for you to see those almighty nature, you need to walk before me and be perfect. Then he went on and then changed his name. Wow. All along, he's been Abraham and he's been fine with God. He's been walking with God as Abraham. But then he said, you're not going to be an assumed father anymore. You're going to be a father of many nations, as I promised you. So I'm going to change your name from Abraham to Abraham. Whoa, what a beginning of a journey. God was transforming Abraham the way Jesus has transformed each and every one of us. Jesus met us when we were nothing. Maybe you don't know. Jesus met us as nothing, but he transformed our life. He brought in a newness into our life. And that newness of life is what we are living now. If we had remained the same person all along, then there wouldn't have been any need for Jesus to come. Jesus came. He said, I have come so that you might have life and life abundantly. I have come so that you might have. So Jesus came for a purpose of renewness of life, of a new lease of life. You remember that woman by the well that met Jesus, and she was there to fetch water, and the Samaritan woman, and she met Jesus, and Jesus was able to tell her everything about herself. And the woman looked at Jesus and said, hang on a minute, how do you know me? How come you know so much about me? And the woman, and one of the things that interested the woman was that the woman was like, oh, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right, very correct. I can tell you because the man you are with is not your husband. And he started telling him everything about himself. You know what that woman did? That was interesting. The woman went to town and said, I have met a man who knows everything about me. This is a woman that was that would have been very shy to discuss herself with anybody, but said, I met a man who knows everything about me. How many people are you telling about this God that you've met that knows everything about you? How many people are you telling about this God that can tell you who you are, that has transformed your life the way it's transformed Abraham's life? Abraham's, in a unique way, he displayed faith that was beyond all human understanding. He displayed that faith that was beyond all human understanding in the sense that Abraham believed every word that came out of God's mouth. He left certainty for uncertainty. He left certainty for uncertainty. God created something out of nothing. So Abraham looked at this God and believed this word and left certainty for uncertainty. He had faith. And how did we define faith in 2016 when we're looking at faith? Or how did Hebrew define faith? He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you see something, then that's not faith. So if you're praying about the food that you know your mom is cooking, then you're not praying. You're not having faith, because that food will eventually come to the table, except something else happened. But if you don't have a grain of rice or a potato in your house, and you can't even afford to buy it, and you're saying, God, I want food on my table. I'll give you an example. Mula, the man that owns our home, that care home, he woke up one morning with nothing. He just was on his knees. One of the books that was written, he was in a home. He had a care home with loads of children without food for them to eat that morning. And he was on his knees. And he had nothing to give those children. But he kept praying. because he believes in a God called Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. In front of his home, not anywhere else, in front of his home, the axles of a truck that was carrying food broke. And all the food were there. And the man that was driving the truck said, "It's of no use. I can't take this food anywhere else. Does anyone need it?" And the home that had no food that morning had surplus. That is the mighty nature of God. That is the God that told Abraham, "Calm the sand of the sea, and I will make it." That is faith. And the man, all the food, they were able to feed those children. Those stories were written for us to be able to learn. It's not just the Bible alone, for us to be able to learn what faith is and how powerful this God that you serve is. Abraham believed every word of God. He received the promise of blessings right from the beginning in Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. He even met the prince of Salem, Melchizedek. He met God in person. So by our standard, at that point in chapter 17, Abraham was a blessed man. But he remained an assumed father. In chapter 17, God then started talking to him about a new level of relationship. I will say to you as a church that if you don't believe anything, last Sunday will teach us a lot of lessons, because God came down in a mighty way and spoke to each and every one of us. And like Abraham, God wants to take us to a new level of relationship in this year. I can feel it and I can see it. And we all saw it last Sunday, because God was talking to us. And all of a sudden, Les just brought that song, "Guide Me, O the Great Jehovah." He just brought that song, "Guide Me, O the Great Jehovah." And that was just the beginning of the whole service changing around totally. With a song, God just started speaking to us. And God was revealing himself to us as we go along. God, from the beginning of creation, has always been great. And one of his great attributes is the way he brings out himself. He reveals his name again and again. In the book of Revelation that we just read, he said, "I am the Alpha." So at the beginning, I am Almighty. Just like I asked the question, what was he before chapter 17? He has always been Almighty. At the beginning, because that's what Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 is saying. At the beginning, I am Almighty. At the end, I'm the Alpha at the beginning. At the end, I'm Omega. I will still remain Almighty. And so, I am the same God from the beginning, but revealing myself to you in a different way. It might sometimes in a unique way display his power to us. The way nations display their power in weapons, the way sport people display their power in weightlifting, in strength, as I explained last week, God displays his might in various ways. His deed, he displayed his mighty nature. In creation, all he said was, "Let there be." That is the power of word. I love the power of word so much because I value word. I work in an environment where it is my word that is my bond. It's my word that I use in achieving what I want to achieve. And when I look at the way you raise argument, you raise legal argument, I realize how God does things in a unique way. God called everything that he created by his word. "Let there be," and there was. and there was. And everything that he created, he said, they were good. Everything. So calling things to be to God is not new. So if you are here this morning, and you want God to call things into your life, you are the right place, because that is the same God that called the world to be. So if there's anything you're lacking this year that you want God to speak into, then let there be God is here. He's the same God before, at the beginning. He's the same God when the world will end. I am, who was, and is to come. That is the same God you're serving. So the mightiness of God is not diminished in any way as you journey along. That is why he said it at the beginning of Genesis and at Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. He's saying, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will be there if you call me. So the power of God is displayed in his deed when he called creation to be. He also displays his might and power. The mighty nature of God is displayed in his name. Exodus chapter 6 verse 3. Exodus 6, chapter 6, verse 3. He said, this is what the way the Lord spoke to him, Moses. This is Moses meeting God again. Another example of faith. This is what God said to Moses. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. For by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So he displayed his might in his name. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, God gave them the name Jehovah. And for everything they go through, they were seeing the hand of Jehovah. It was Jehovah Nissi, the God of their battle. It was Jehovah Shalom, the God of their peace. The name of Jehovah was displayed in virtually everything that they went through. And he told them, look, I'm almighty. That is who I am. But I'm also Jehovah. As you need me, I will show myself to you. And he was displaying his name to them. So this same God is still the same God today. He's never changed. His name is Jesus Christ. And that is the name that has been given unto man, by which every man should be saved. He said, and God has given him a name above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The other thing he said to us was that Jesus was teaching, was talking to his disciples. He said, if you ask anything, anything in my name, so, what's stopping you? What are you going through? What is the trouble that you're facing? Why don't you speak to God in Jesus' name? That name has been given to you. That name has been given to me. You might think it's just a name, but that name is the name of God unto you for your salvation. That name is the name of God unto you for your deliverance. That name is the name of God unto you for your provision. And my Lord shall meet all my needs. That's the word. According to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. My Lord shall meet all my need. That's the mighty nature of God for you. So, brothers and sisters, you've got in your hand what you need this year. Amen. You've got the Almighty God with you. He displayed his name. He displays power through his name. And then, above all, he displays his mighty nature through us, through you and I. Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. The mighty nature of God is displayed through you and I. Look at this. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But what will you remember, my brothers and sisters? Well, remember the name of the Lord our God. Simple. When you get to that crossroad, what do you remember? Let me give you an example. Moses. That's the river, Red Sea in front of him. Pharaoh and the Egyptian army were behind him. He had nothing. He looked up to God. God said, what do you have in your hand? He said, I've got a rod. He said, stretch forth your rod. And he called God. What happened? Red Sea parted. One of the greatest principles that goes against gravity. Red Sea parted. And they walked on dry land. What is your Red Sea this morning? What's your Red Sea this year? What are the things that you've battled with in 2017 that you're going into 2018 and saying, how am I going to get around? God Almighty wants to show forth his glory in you. Because the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And if you are a son of God, the world wants to see the signs that follows those that believe in God. The world wants to see those signs in you. Because God has deposited those signs in you and I. It's now left for us to practicalize what God has given to us. Yes. We're no longer preaching salvation or this and that again because we've been saved. Yes, we need to show people that need to be saved because they need to read God in us. Some of them might not even read the Bible. They need to read God in you. And how do they read God in you when you are so timid and you cannot practicalize what the power that God has given you? He's deposited those power in you. He saved you for a reason. Amen. He didn't save you, like I say all the time, he didn't save you to come and fill the church. No. He saved you so that you might show the world the power that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are the carrier of Christ right now. You are the one that is carrying the light of God right now. In this present age, the world is seeing you and they say, that man says he goes to church. That man is a Christian. And they want to see the fruits of a believer in you. They want to see you show forth God. The world is hungry. But the world cannot be fed until they see a man that is being fed and feel that man is satisfied and want to eat what he has. That's the way it is with the world. The Bible is full of evidence of the mighty nature of God and how he displayed them in various ways, both in the Old and the New Testament. One of the greatest ways is Abraham's story that we're reading today. It's so interesting that Abraham had all this encounter with God. And God displayed himself to him in a special way. What did God first do with Abraham? The first thing that God did, here was to announce himself to him. He said, I am the Almighty God. Why would God do that? God wanted to reassure Abraham that even though you've walked with me all these years, even though you've walked with me for over 20 odd years, I am still the God Almighty that's led you all through, and I will continue to lead you. I'm the God Almighty that called you on that journey. I'm the God Almighty that is walking the journey with you. I'm the God Almighty that will be with you at the end of the journey. Maybe you've looked at yourself and said, I've been a Christian all this long. I've said this same prayer over and over again. I've repeated the same request to God over and over again. Just like Abraham, 75, 80, 90, 99. Abraham was waiting for a child. He was waiting for a child. But God told him that I'm still that same God. But there's a condition that God gave to him. He said, walk before me and be perfect. So with this reassurance, a new name, and a new relationship. Father of many nations. And I pray for you today, and I say that with the unction of the Holy Spirit, as we in 2008, you would see a turnaround beyond every limitation. And Satan or people around you will not be able to place any limitation on you, and things will turn around for your good in 2018. Maybe there's some things you've been chasing, you've been looking for. In this year, God is saying to you, take the leap of faith. Trust me as Almighty God. And God himself will lead you individually and lead us collectively as a church, as an Almighty God. God did not just stop in the changing of name for Abraham and the revelation of his name as Almighty God. He went on to enter into a new covenant with Abraham. I love God's covenant, and it makes me, because professionally, I love the fact that for you to work with anyone, there's always an agreement. The covenant God had with Abraham was a unique covenant, a covenant of circumcision. What does that mean? Because as I joked earlier when I started, the fact that they had to cut off their foreskin is not the main thing. It's, at that time, what God was saying was, I'm setting you apart. God was setting Abraham's descendants apart, making a difference in their personality and the personality of everyone around them. He was showing his mark upon them. And in 2018, God wants to set you apart. As Christian, God wants to show you, he wants to glory in you. He wants to show his glory in you. He wants to show his mark of goodness in you as you journey in the year. At this point, when he was setting Abraham apart, God was showing something that is unique in his personality, that I am God Almighty. I want you to work before me and be perfect, but I also want to change your name. But above all, I want to enter into a new agreement with you. You know, that setting apart was what David knew when he faced Goliath. That's all that David knew when he faced Goliath. When David was to face Goliath, while all the other people were trembling and saying, Goliath, giant, everything, maybe that's where you look at your trouble. Oh, it's mighty and mighty, all this mighty trouble. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, the uniqueness of that covenant of circumcision was what David used. They said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The word, that's just it. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? To be speaking against the Almighty God. That is the way David was able to conquer Goliath. That was the word, that was the catch word that David used to conquer Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to come and face Almighty God? Because David knew the covenant of setting apart. God has set them apart. And when they relied on that covenant, great things happen. Mighty things happen. And greater, for us, we have a greater covenant in Jesus Christ. Romans 2, verse 29. A greater covenant in Jesus Christ. And this is what it says in Romans 2, verse 29. But he is Jew, which was one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Our circumcision is of the heart. Our heart being one with God. Our heart is what God is looking for. A heart of faith. Faith, Bible says, come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Believing in your heart and accepting that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Simple. Your heart is what God is asking you to. We're not going through a class of circumcision. We're saying our circumcision is not about the foreskin. It's about the heart. Because God wants to set us apart. God wants to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants to walk a journey with us in 2018. He has started that journey with us right from the beginning when we got to know him. But he's saying to us, he's giving us a new reassurance that in 2018, I want to make you signs and wonders. Because that's his word. As for me and my house, we're made for signs and wonders. God wants to make you signs and wonders for this generation of the world. And as we journey in 2018, he wants us to walk with him and be blameless and be perfect. God is looking to walk in with us this year. And why do I say that? Why do I believe that? I believe that because when the going gets tough, that's when the tough gets going. The world at the moment is a tough place to live as a Christian, whether you like it or not. I'll be very blunt with you. The world at the moment is a tough place to live as a Christian. But one thing is sure, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Abraham was the only man on a journey into a land that he did not know. But for every land that he went to, God blessed him. God made those people to honor him. Abraham himself had a fear. That was why he was lying to everyone. Oh, he's not my wife, he's my sister. He had his own fear. Abraham did not... Naturally, Abraham was like, if I go and tell these people, they are more than me. That's one of the things he said. These people are more than me. They can kill me. That's why I have to lie to you and say, she's not my wife. But God, that is not the plan of God. Each time those people touches anything that is Abraham, God punished them and will say to Abraham, they would then be the one to be blessing Abraham. Abraham went to a war when he went to rescue Lot. He went to a war with only his servants. They were not trained soldiers. He went to a war with his servants and they won that war. And that was why he met Melchizedek. God wants to set you apart this year. God wants to show you off to the world. God wants to display his glory in you. The world is against everything that you are now, but the world will glorify God in you in 2018. Because that is what he wants to do. He wants to show himself as almighty. But one thing is necessary. You need to allow him. You need to trust in him. You need to be like Abraham, who was looking for a land whose founder and builder was God. You need to walk with God. The Bible says Abraham walked with God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Just walking with God. Trusting every word that comes out of God's mouth. Believing every word that comes out of God's mouth. And what is this word of God? The scripture. You see, sometimes we tend to forget that the world we live in, and if you come to the Bible study, you will have this experience that I'm talking about. Each time we go through the scripture, we just see the way the world is going through, written in the scripture. Everything about this world is already here. When the world started turning around, the Bible talks about it, how things are going to happen. So basically, you're not going into this world blindly. Because it's not a blind faith. It's a faith that is already here. It's clearly stated here that at the end of time, these things will happen. It says, men shall be lovers of self. Perilous time. Men shall be lovers of self. They will turn against everything that is of God. So, if you carry God now and the world is against you, it's not new. If you know your scripture, you know it's not new. Because that is what the world is going to be. So you need to allow God to show himself mighty in you. You need to allow him to show himself mighty in your life. You need to allow him to show himself mighty in your work. That's another thing that is important. Because we tend to leave God in the church and we tend to run our home and our life separately. But no, God wants to show himself almighty in everything that is you. The totality of you is what God is asking. So when you wake up in your house, and when you want to make your dinner and you don't have anything to eat, why don't you trust God? When you wake up in your home and you think you're tired and worn out, why don't you trust God for strength in your journey? When you turn around and everything looks bleak and uncertain, why don't you trust God to make a way for you? Because he's a way maker. He can make all things well in his own time. When you wake up in your home and you think, or your work, and you think, how do I direct this world? Why don't you trust God? David did that perfectly well. What did David do? David wanted to go to war. He's a warrior. He's a natural warrior. He was a trained warrior. He started training for war right from his early days by looking after sheep in the forest. And he was fighting lions and everything. But if he wants to go to war, he first of all ask God, should I go or should I not go? Why do you have to ask God, should I go or should I not go? You're a warrior. You're a trained warrior. Warfare. You're trained in the act of warfare. You can go to war. But David knew that it is not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. David trusted God that much that he has God. And when God tells him to go, that's when he goes. Why don't you trust God that much in your life as well? Why don't you believe in his word as you go along? Abraham, another good example that I can take out of Abraham. He had that child, didn't he, at the age of 100. And then God said, I want that child as a sacrifice. That single child that the man had, the man that you told that would be a father of many nations, and you still want the child for sacrifice. But Abraham did not argue with God. He gave the child to God. And God surprised him. Because God wanted, you see, as you go through each level of challenges, God take you to a new higher level, into a new ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new height I'm gaining every day. As he was going on, he gave that child unto God. And he said, that's what you want, God? And even the child was asking, Dad, we're going to make a sacrifice. We have the wood, we have the stick, we have the fire, we have everything. But where is the animal? And what did he say to him? The Lord will provide. And the Lord actually provided. And that was where God revealed another name to him. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. That is the way God wants us to work this year. God is asking you to walk with him this year, believing that he can do all things. And my God shall provide for all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God has given us the opportunity to know Jesus. He has given us the opportunity to know the power that is in the name of Jesus. But he wants us to utilize that power for the world to see. God, if we allow God, he will move in this place like never before. It will move in our home like never before. It will move in our work like never before. If we allow God, he will show himself mighty and powerful in all our ways. One thing I ask of us, one thing God is asking of all of us, is to walk before him and be perfect. And when we walk with him, it will make our imperfection perfect. Because that is the thing about God. We can never be perfect. But our imperfection, because I'm not telling you any fluke here. I'm not telling you, oh, you're going to be the most righteous person. No. There's no one. Jesus even said it. There's no one righteous except God. But it will make our imperfection perfect. Abraham was never perfect. I'll just give you an example of a man who will lie about his wife and said, he's not my wife. Abraham was never perfect. Abraham had this doubt. He laughed when God told him he was going to have a child. But God did not, he was still counted as a man that walked with God, and he was counted to him as righteousness. Because God is the only one that can make us perfect. And this is a man that was before Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, He gave us a new life, a new look, a new mindset. Christ in you. Christ in me. Christ in all of us. The hope of glory. Christ in you. So basically, the mighty glory of God is the Christ is carrying Christ in us. This year, God wants to show himself in your life. He wants to show himself in your home. He wants to show himself in your world. And above all, he wants to show himself in this church. All he's asked us to do is to trust him as Almighty. It will reveal his power if we allow him to move. Happy New Year, and God bless you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, what a word. Hallelujah. That same Abraham who trusted God for the impossible. He didn't look at what was impossible, but he looked at God with all things that were possible. You know, and he revealed himself, as Brother David said, as Jehovah to Moses. And that same God, when he was crucified, resurrected, revealed to John when he was in prison on the Isle of Patmos, he says to him, "He that overcomes," just like Abraham did, "he that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him the name of my God." I will write upon him that name, Jesus Christ the Lord. I will write it in your heart. What a wonderful thing. God, what is God going to do? Is he going to put a tattoo on you? No, he's not going to write it on your skin, on your flesh, but in your heart. The heart that is circumcised by faith in Jesus Christ. He will write his name in your heart so that you will be a conqueror, an overcomer like David, an overcomer like Abraham. We're going to sing that song now. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Not mine, but his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's stand to sing, number 8. Number 8.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on Jesus' on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground. Love the ground is sinking sand. When darkness came to me, and every eye I am on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with
Yeah, I want to stand on Christ, the rock, solid rock. Why don't you speak to him and say, look, I want to just show you forth to the world in my life as God Almighty. I want the world to know that you reign in me and you're my God. I don't want to have any hope on any other thing, not the promise of men, but the promise of God. Amen. I don't want to have any hope on anything that the world might be giving me, the budget that the government might be reading, the benefit that the government might be planning to give out, or things that they might want to do. But I want to have a hope in Christ Jesus. I want all my trust and hope to be in him. I don't want to look at my wisdom or my knowledge. I want the mighty God to show himself mighty. And above all, I want to be able to show the mightiness of God in everything I do. For the world to see God as a mighty God in my life. Why don't you speak to him?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Why don't you speak to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray. Tell him to show his mighty power in your home, in your work, in everything that you do, that you lay your hand upon. Let the world, through me, lift the name of Jesus Christ high. Let the world, through me, know the power that is in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Let the world, through me, see the glory that is in Christ Jesus. Father, we declare you as a mighty God in our life in this 2018. We declare your authority in our church. We declare your authority in our home. We declare your authority in our workplace and in everything we do. Father, we proclaim you and exalt your name in this place. And we say, Lord, take your place as we journey to 2018. Reveal yourself more to us. Father, let the world see the light of God in us and give glory to God the Father. Father, let the world see us and know that we are the torch bearer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, let the world see the mighty things you will do in our life and bring glory back to you. Father, let our life speak volume of the gospel in 2018. And let your name be glorified. Because your word says that if we lift the name of Jesus high, You will draw men unto yourself. Father, we want to lift your name high as a mighty God in this place. We want our doors not just to read the name of church, but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want our life not just to say we're Christians, but to show Christ forth in our environment. Father, we ask this, Lord, that you empower us, you fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we might break through. We declare you this morning in this place as we journey through 2018. Have your way. Have your place. Take your throne. Reign supreme in us and in this place. Thank you, holy and righteous Father. We pray you continue with us in this journey as we continue to trust you. Thank you, Father God. And we pray, Lord, that you will increase our faith as well in you. Father, every weakness in us, Lord, you will take away. We will trust you, Lord. Some trust in chariots and in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Father, this year we will show forth your name to the world. And we will display your majesty. In sickness, we will call you. In need, we will look to you. In weakness, we will cling to you. Father, in pains and sorrows, we will take comfort in you. Thank you, Father God. We bless you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your mighty hand in this place this morning. And we say now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Forevermore. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.
He's all.